А почему вы еще не ответили?
Ну, типа, да. Еще ответы будут? Внезапно нет! Внезапно это было изобретено при у этого, блядь. Ну, кто у нас первый фашист? Ну, забыл, как его фамилия. Муссолини. Это было при Муссолини. В то время там был режиссер, который в конце, когда Муссолини придет к власти, он будет близким там во власти. Он в то время снял фильм про Рим, про сильных римлян, могучих. И жест был из этого фильма. Жест он придумал без нормальных исторических источников, придумал для фильма. Да, я тоже думал. Я вот только недавно узнал. Блять, погуглите просто Роман Салют и. Да, вот именно Роман Салют. Можете погуглить статью в Википедии и прочитать, если. Вот. Вот так, блядь, оно и работает. Я тоже только узнал. Ну, как-то руку поднимали в приветствии в Риме, но вот не вот так.
Michael de Freitas decided that he was going to become a revolutionary. He was going to challenge and expose the corrupt old structures of power that he believed still haunted and controlled the minds of the English people, even though their empire was gone.
I can't live in this system. I don't like it. I don't want it. I want it destroyed. Everything, down to the ground, the lot, ashes. That's what I want.
Ну и даже там, даже и как император приветствовали, есть статуи, это не выглядит как Зига. Просто поднятая рука в приветствии, а не вытянутая на 35 градусов, не полностью вытянутая. По градусам не обязательно, но вытянутая полностью рука. Вот как маска, да. Ну, это даже не переосмысление, что просто что-то совершенно отдаленное было, потом придумали свое и выдали свое за то, что это историческое.
All three, Chang Ching, Michael de Freitas, and Kerry Thornley, knew that their struggle
Почему бутылка? Расстрел!
was with the forces from the old power of the past that they believed were still lodged in people's minds. But at the same time, quietly rising up was a new system that seemed as if it would never have to face that struggle, because it would be completely free of the past. The laws of human thought that George Boole had created had become the central structure of all thinking machines, computers, because it fitted perfectly with the binary switching system.
Как полный жест выглядит. Не будем по градусам, а просто вытянутая вперед рука. Вперед полностью вытянутая. Ну что ты не знаешь, как Зигу кидает?
inside them, either zero or one.
Ты что, никогда зигу не кидал?
And it was you.
Вытянутая слегка вверх, вперед.
Used by the machines to create endless branching pathways of binary logic, called algorithms. Out of that was going to come the dream of art.
Это использовалось в Муссолини, ну и Гитлер слезал.
Artificial intelligence, machines that could think independently, that could then order and manage the world as a rational system, not driven by the dangerous ideologies of the past. But back in the 1960s, as the engineers began to build the first neural networks, what they had forgotten was that...
Не важно, как из этого состояния трансформируется зигуна. Просто берешь и кидаешь.
The system of thought they were creating inside the machines did have its own history. That it had been born out of a time when science had become deeply involved in questions of power.
Ну как-то немножко выводы слишком прыгают. Ой. Все выводы мне казались логичными и понятными, и почти со всеми я согласен. Тут же даже проследить за его выводами довольно тяжело.
But what lay behind the computer logic was the aim of simplifying human thought, which would finally allow you to colonize the last free outpost, the human mind. But unlike the old empires, where power was visible, this power would be hidden in remote places, in the servers. But something else from the past would also find its way into those servers. In the political and economic chaos of the early 1970s, conspiracy theories were going to spread like wildfire through the counterculture. As they did, the fake conspiracies about the Illuminati and the secret rulers of the world that Kerry Thornley thought that no one could ever believe began to get mixed up with the true conspiracies, like MKUltra. And more people began to follow Jim Garrison's theory of time and propinquity, looking for patterns of a hidden power in America, not for logic or meaning any longer. And when the internet was created, almost immediately...
Ой, Нянечек, ты выглядишь для меня неубедительно, а он вообще-то вполне социалист, а не коммунист. Ну, не коммунист, но социалист, но с довольно социалистскими взглядами.
Those patterns of suspicion would move into the data and multiply endlessly across the system. And that dark paranoia that 200 years before had spread across the prairies and the mountains among isolated settlers now spread across the virtual world, among isolated individuals sitting alone in front of their screens. And suspicion and distrust crept back into what was going to be the new system of power.
А вот если не обращать внимания на вот как раз властные структуры старые и тягу человека к власти, о которых как раз он говорит, то коммунизм превращается в то, что превратился коммунизм, да.
Who killed my man? Who killed my man? Who killed my man? super angry. Let's climb up the century. Who's your little vampire? Never trust a hillbilly.
Sex Pistols Gavin Ward. Плохо структурирована эта серия. Раньше лучше было. Такое ощущение, что серия должна была кончиться уже где-то 20 минут назад. Я боюсь, что дальше будут продолжаться те же сюжеты. Я все быстро запутаюсь, потому что в этом я уже запутался. Да, Псикак, можете идти 5 минут, не больше. Machines of Flying Grace, там в каждой серии было по отдельно. То есть темы были какие-то, переходили сложные, но конкретные истории разбирались отдельные. В гиперномализации я не помню. Так, идите ссать.
Ready, set,
нет, сейчас кое-что другое просто. Или, может, вы уже пописали? Может, вы уже покакали?
Thank you. продолжить свой путь. Ее с него не свернуть. Попробуй это ас.
Когда же я на концерт Авии смогу попасть?
Боль.
Кто же меня повезет на концерт Авии, которая где-то раз в год в Москве выступает?
Кто-нибудь.
Я не знаю, что у тебя там в голове играет, ты понимаешь это? Дальше ты молишься? Это колыбельная надо было в конце ставить. Ну ладно. Так, ну что, ребята, продолжаем, да? Сколько отвалилось? Ну, вроде бы еще там 2,5 зрителя. Но мы еще тут. 2,5 тухлых зрителя, но еще тут.
Have you ever been to a labour exchange? You know, the last time I went there, I was paid my money by a Sikh. Have you ever been to a labour exchange?
You know, когда были на бирже труда?
The last time I went there, I was paid my money by a Sikh. A Sikh sitting there with his turban and a bangle on his hand. Now, I was 3 years with the Indian Army in India. I was 3 years in India in civilian life.
Ксенофобия, кстати. Ксенофобия из людей вообще она выкачивается так, чтобы вообще массово. Или это что-то натуральное вот состояние людей, особенно тех, кто потупее.
I got on well with Sikhs, Hindus, the whole lot of them. But to walk into a British labour exchange and find you're being paid out your money by a Sikh. These are the people that in my small way I help train and educate. To go to a labour exchange is not a very edifying experience at all. You know, you change into your old clothes to go to the labour exchange. But you've got to go.
Edgar Mittelholzer had come to England in the 1950s from British Guiana, and he had become a best-selling novelist. What Mittelholzer wrote about was violence. The violence and the racism that had been at the heart of the European empires. Mittelholzer believed that it still haunted the minds of those who had ruled the empires. One of his most famous stories, My Bones and My Flute, is about a group of colonialists who travel up a river into the jungle in Guyana. They're searching for the remains of a giant slave rebellion in the
past,
guided by an old manuscript. But anyone who reads the manuscript starts to hear the distant sound of a flute. When they change, they become possessed by something that is reaching out from the jungle and working its way into their minds. It is the anger and the fear of the slave owner who put down the rebellion. And it will not let them escape. And Mittelholzer himself became angry with England. He saw it as a decaying, corrupted country.
I think we've reached a stage, you know, when we've become so soft, you know, so effete, better use it in other words, so effete, that we feel that, well, even criminals must be multi-covered.
I mean, you feel so strongly that you're prepared to go as far as to say that there are human beings who should be categorized as vermin.
Vermin, exactly, right. Anyone who is guilty of violence to the human person and to property should be considered as human vermin and eradicated. I know it's a violent thing to advocate, but I can't see any other cure to the crime problem.
Every evening, he sat with his wife in his house in Surrey, listening to the music of Wagner. Until one night,
этого композитора, как люблю и австрийского художника, который любил этого композитора.
Holzer walked up the hill by his house, poured paraffin over himself, and set himself alight. He burned to death. The anger and
self-immolation, most noble of suicide.
The fear had reached out to the colonized too. In 1966, engineers monitoring Chinese television from a mountain in Hong Kong began to realize that something unusual was happening in Beijing. China was sealed off from the rest of the world. But what they saw were hundreds of thousands of people streaming in from other cities and the countryside. By August the 11th, 1.5 million people had assembled in Tiananmen Square. Most of them were students or schoolchildren. Then, Mao Zedong appeared on the balcony above them. Mao Zedong and his wife Jiang Qing had unleashed a new force in China. These were what Mao called the little devils of youth. He told them that they were going to save the revolution. Their job was to go and seek out the demons and the monsters who were corrupting the revolution. No one should be safe, he said. They should all be torn down and smashed to pulp. The new revolutionaries gave themselves a name, the Red Guards. Jiang Qing now had great power. She saw herself as equal to Mao. But she was convinced that the threat to the revolution also came from inside people's minds. She knew that even though China had gone through a revolution, little had changed inside the heads of millions of the people, including those in power. They still believed in a rigid hierarchy. She had been scorned as a woman by the other revolutionaries around Mao. They had done anything they could to stop her. Jiang Qing had rewritten old Chinese operas into epic melodramas about the need to challenge and destroy the old order. All the old figures of authority were banished. Instead, the ordinary people, including women, took center stage. They were performed to millions of young Red Guards. And in talks before the performances, Jiang Qing told the audience how what they were about to watch were heroes awakening and realizing that they could take control.
Today, I still vividly remember the first time I saw the Revolutionary play. I was about 14, 13 years old. And there was a rush of emotion, of identity. I was so excited. Suddenly, I saw those plays after Jiang Qing's talk that night. And suddenly, what she was saying made sense to me, that there was a fundamental difference between the revolutionary art and the traditional art. There was something in the play about the working class emotions and working class world outlook, and just the flamboyance of the working class figure on stage moved me. That is my society, that's my life. That's the people I see, that's the people I live with, and they're on stage.
Mao and Jiang Qing suspended all schools and universities, which released 120 million students, who were then sent out to find and destroy the demons that were hiding among those in authority.
Our teachers were often paraded through the streets, and we made them chant, "I'm a demon, I'm a devil, I deserve to die." That's the song, and they had to sing it. And they all sang. Whoever didn't got beaten up, some very badly. We used our belts to whip them. Some people used sticks. And the mother of this teacher was pushed over a bridge and fell to her death.
L'impérialisme dicte partout sa loi. La révolution n'est pas un dîner. La bomba est un tigre en papier.
Поэтому кино смотрели. Мау, мау.
Les ricains tuent et moi je mets Mao, Mao. Les bombes tonnent et moi je sonne Mao, Mao.
Настолько, блядь, сила этого арта была велика, что аж до Франции добило. Случайно.
Horst Mahler had been born in what was now East Germany. His father had been a fervent Nazi and an anti-Semite. In 1945, his family fled across Germany from the approaching Red Army. Then his father committed suicide. Mahler grew up in West Berlin, and everything was buried. In 1964, Mahler joined a new group called the APO.
Ну там просто конкретно Франция была. Это песня французская.
The extra parliamentary opposition. They knew that many of those in charge of the country had been senior members of the Nazi Party. But no one talked about it. And they wanted to expose the Nazi crimes of those in charge and challenge their control of the country.
There was the memory knocking at the door. And we asked our parents and our grandfathers, what did you do all this time? Did you resist, or had you been a little Nazi, or had you been an opportunist?
Or a big Nazi!
And this discussion was blocked by the elder generation, and so it became hostile.
The student movement was astonished by the violent reaction of the German government. And Horst Mahler and other radicals began to think that the problem was far deeper than just individual Nazis. That maybe the whole Nazi system had also survived and was hiding behind the facade of modern capitalism. They argued that the very system of industrial rationality and bureaucratic control that had made the Nazi state so efficient had simply mutated. It had been taken up by the victors, above all by America, and was now being used to run the new global capitalism and the multinational corporations that were ruthlessly exploiting what was called the Third World. Anything that stood in the system's way was bombed or burnt, with weapons created by the same rational industrial techniques that made the mass consumer goods. But the people in the West couldn't see this, because they had been led into a dream world that used mass consumerism and sexualized imagery to entrance and distract everyone.
Und zauberhaft schön, die Hemdlosen, Strumpfhosen.
In reality, it was an iron cage, designed to look like an open and free welfare state. A tall state of peace that was built really on horror and war.
We were convinced that our situation here, the welfare state, is only possible and a result by the exploitation of the Third World. And we said we must disturb this peace, this false peace in our country, in order to show the responsibility of us, that it is our task to implement sabotage in the centers of imperialism.
A threat to your arrest, Brown.
Of course, racist America has done it again, but that's not going to end the burning in Detroit, brother, because we built the country up and we'll burn it down, honkies and all.
Yes, Mr. Brown, did you tell them to burn down that school?
Be serious, I ain't got to tell black folks what to burn.
Did you tell them to shoot Lady Bird?
Did I tell them to burn down Detroit? Did I tell America to bring black people here?
Did you tell them to shoot at Lady Bird?
I say if they give me a gun and tell me to shoot my enemy, I might shoot you.
Where have you met them the other night, Mr. Brown?
Oh, well.
Non-violence is okay, but you get nowhere with non-violence. I like violence.
Malcolm X started, but can't finish.
Malcolm X set the idea. He rooted it rather in the minds of many blacks. He really started the ball rolling.
You feel that violence is necessary in order to get rid of what you would call the oppression?
It wouldn't get rid of it, but it will open, some of Whitey's eyes to say, well, we're not joking, we really mean what we say.
Do you find yourself really hating white people?
Yes.
Yes.
Some people hold grudges, and I do. Look how they treat me. How many floors did my great-grandmother strew, How many babies did she take care of that wasn't hers? Stuff like that. And I'm just one of those people with whole things.
За бабушку, отомсти за бабушку.
Alice Faye Williams had been born in North Carolina. She had run away from home when she was young because she was frightened of her violent father. And she came to New York when she was 15. She managed to get a place to study at the School of Performing Arts. Then one day, on 125th Street in Harlem, she listened to a speech by Bobby Seale, one of the leaders of the Black Panthers. The Black Panthers believed that the only way to stop racism in America was for black people to get power. Simply changing the law was not enough. The anger and the fear remained hidden away in millions of people's minds.
Да, поэтому нужно взять власть и унижать белых.
The solution was black power. And the first person to articulate this was Stokely Carmichael on a civil rights march in Mississippi on one day when the more moderate Martin Luther King was absent.
So I just made a speech building up to it, building up, building up, building up, showing that it wasn't a question of morality, it wasn't a question of being good or bad, it was simply a question of power. And the weak black people had no power, and we had to have some power. The only type of power we could have is black power. Black power.
We want black power. We want black power. We want black power. We want black power. We want black power.
Black power, это что-то из Power Rangers?
We want black power. We want black power. That's right, that's what we want, black power.
They responded immediately in a healthy manner. Dr. King came back the next day, but it was too late then. Black power had been established.
Alice Williams decided to join the Black Panthers. She became a member of a new chapter that had been set up in Harlem. And she changed her name to Afeni Shakur. She later explained what the Panthers meant for her. For the first time, she said, there was now something I could do with all this aggression and all this fear inside me. The Panther Party at that time took my rage and channeled it against them instead of against us. They educated my mind and gave me direction. And with that direction came hope.
Oh, there were, I saw in the precinct a number of men and women being brought in. I had contact with some of the women when we were in the precinct, and they were also beaten. Some had black eyes, some had swollen lips and so forth. And from what most of them said, they were just walking along the street, and most of them were pushed or hit with a club. And when they, you know, protested the fact that they were being hit for nothing, then they were beaten and arrested.
We teach children that the policeman is a friend. In Harlem, however, although I know that there are policemen who are friendly and kind and decent and fair, this type of policeman is a rare thing.
Hey? The other girl, I mean that. I do shows in aid of people like you.
Michael De Freitas had been a gangster. He had worked as an enforcer for the notorious slum landlord, Peter Rackman.
Спасибо, хоть напомнили, да? Ага.
But now, he wanted to be a revolutionary. Then one day, he met the American...
Так и да, так будут сюжетные линии через все...
Шесть
серий.
American black leader, Malcolm X, who was on a tour...
Ну, блин, Мартин Лютер Кинг как-то что-то смог сделать, нет? В конкретно в том случае.
Evolutionary. Then one day he met the American black leader Malcolm X, who was on a tour of England. They began to travel around the country together. When they arrived in Birmingham, the hotel receptionist thought that Michael De Freitas was Malcolm X's brother, and he called him Michael X. De Freitas decided that in the future, this was going to be his revolutionary name, and he was going to lead a revolution in Britain. Michael X soon became famous.
I would hate to be described as a politician, because they're all such liars and thieves. If I'm going to deal in the realms of that type of public relations, I'd rather think of myself in terms of being a statesman, which is an art that this country has long since forgotten, like we have no statesmen today. I'm probably the only one in the country. Unfortunately, we find that the people of pale pigmentation are people who are so barbaric, like, for instance, right now this country, which is run by those type of people, have got more weapons of destruction to destroy the entire world. And they're so savage, they're building even more. You see, the British are such a strange people.
Many of Michael X's supporters were the young white radicals who had moved into Notting Hill, into the very houses that he and the gangster Peter Rackman had run 10 years before. Because Michael X was an outsider, the white radicals believed that he could see the system for what it really was. Like all revolutionaries before them, they had tried to appeal to the white working class and get them to rise up against the system. But no one seemed to be interested.
And what we've been talking about here today is the problem of racialism and the problem of the attack by the government and by the employers on working people's conditions.
The radicals decided that this was because the ordinary people had been brainwashed by the media and by consumerism and turned into what their theory called one-dimensional creatures, which meant that they were the wrong kind of person to start a revolution with.
Their whole mind is, you know, like a cabbage. They're suppressed, they can't do exactly what they want, they haven't got any freedom, they haven't got any freedom to do exactly what they want under the system.
What is freedom?
Well, being able to express yourself in whichever way you feel is right.
But I think it's not only the system that's wrong, I think it's the people that's wrong.
But one evening, after making a speech in Reading, Michael X was arrested. And he was sent to prison for 10 months for inciting racial hatred. The MP, Enoch Powell, had also made a speech at the same time, violently attacking immigrants. He wasn't charged, and he carried on being an MP. Which Michael X said rather proved his point about the racism underlying the country.
А ты черт там скоро будет?
Ну
one that's going to tell you not to think what you honestly believe, but I think maybe you should re-examine a little bit the things that you believe, huh? Think about it.
In the Cold War, the very idea of the individual and how the individual's self worked had become political, because it was what defined the United States against the collective ideology of Russia.
I think maybe you should re-examine a little bit the things that you believe.
What concerned many psychologists, though, was that the Second World War had revealed how frightening and deceptive human beings could be. Particularly in Nazi Germany, where ordinary people who had apparently been good citizens had indulged in the most terrible horrors. And psychologists started to examine what really went on inside people's minds, trying to find ways of bypassing the conscious explanations.
What really goes on in people's minds? Обезьянки ебутся.
The humans gave. Because those explanations could be deceptive. They wanted to find a way of getting directly at what was going on inside the brain. One of the key figures was a psychologist called Dr. Eckhard Hesse. He had begun his career recording and analysing animal behaviour on film. Now he did the same with human beings. Dr. Hesse had discovered that the pupils in the eyes of individuals reacted dramatically when they were shown different kinds of images. The changes had nothing to do with the changes in the light. They came from within the human being. And Dr. Hesse believed that they gave you a way of seeing the hidden emotional responses that were going on inside the mind. Feelings that the individual might not want to tell you about, or even be aware of. You were looking directly at the brain.
Really, since the eye is very, very intimately a part of the brain, embryologically and anatomically, it is almost the same as though there were a piece of the brain sticking out, behaving, and all the world is there to be able to see it. And if that's so, what ought to be reflected or mirrored in the eye is really the behavior of the brain.
Zhang Qing was now the most powerful woman in the world. She was in charge of giant cohorts of Red Guards that she guided and told who to attack and destroy. High-up members of the Communist Party were seized and paraded in front of tens of thousands of screaming people and forced to confess to thought crimes against the revolution. If they didn't, they were beaten and killed.
And if they did, they were beaten and killed.
But in reality, Zhang Qing had lost control. The revolution had never really changed the structure of power in China. And what she and Mao Zedong had unleashed was a vast anger and resentment against the elites that was now bursting out and overwhelming the country. In Beijing, there were mass killings, with bodies being thrown down wells or into communal burial pits. In Shanghai, hundreds of those targeted by the Red Guards committed suicide. But Zhang Qing had become famous in the West. A feminist writer from America called Roxane Ritka came to Beijing to interview her. But as she talked to Zhang Qing, Ritka began to realize that something else was also going on. That Zhang Qing was using her new power to avenge herself on all those who had dismissed her or patronized her in the past. Zhang Qing also had a demon inside her.
One of the main themes of her life was avenging herself against men who wronged her, politically mainly, when she was in her 20s. And she did not strike back against them until the time of the Cultural Revolution, some 20 years later. They still had refused to give her access to the masses and to allow her to work. And she finally destroyed them.
Wow.
They were removed from their posts. They were humiliated before the people. Placards were put up over their chests. They were dragged before the masses. They were humiliated. They were destroyed.
Zhang Qing also...
Как они по-русски, по-китайски никак запомнить не могу. Хуевибины. Окей.
Zhang Qing also turned on everyone who in Shanghai in the 1930s had held her film career back. Studio heads, directors and journalists were dismissed and beaten up. But the worst was saved for the film star Li Lili. They had starred together in Bloodshed on Wolf Mountain. Zhang Qing had always believed that Li Lili had deliberately upstaged her. Now, Li Lili and her husband were seized by Red Guards. Zhang Qing ordered them to be tortured. Li Lili survived. But her husband couldn't bear it. And he committed suicide.
Ну, видимо, не так уж сильно хотела отомстить, раз она выжила.
We have warned every person in the world not to visit Palestine because Palestine is not a tourist attraction. It's a battlefield and it is our land. Anybody who gets killed or injured in Palestine would be carrying his own responsibility.
Кстати, а мы будем досматривать рехерсал? Или вы как, уже посмотрели? Я не посмотрел.
Horst Mahler and a group of other German revolutionaries secretly went to a Palestinian training camp in Jordan. They had decided to train in urban guerrilla warfare. But things didn't go well from the very start. One of the leaders of the group, Andreas Baader, insisted on having mixed sleeping quarters. Then the female members of the group started to sunbathe on the roof. The commander of the camp told them to stop. Baader argued with him. The anti-imperialist struggle and sexual emancipation, he said, must go hand in hand. The commander refused. Baader put it more bluntly. Fucking and shooting, he said, are the same thing. Then Horst Mahler found that the Fed aid...
Да. Не знаю насчет самодуров, но обманщики такие и дауны в администрации радио. Извините. Но это такое, это мое личное отношение насчет того, как он управляет радио. Ну, не могу сказать, что при было лучше. Не могу. При было лучше только тем, что при...